Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, all new pre-owned inventory. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, and this time of the year, boat, RV, any sort of watercraft, they've got you covered to get you through the summer and protect what matters most. That is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or purdyinsurance.com. True professionals there at Purdy Insurance. And we look forward to, of course, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Sign up if you haven't done so yet. Limited number of flights available. I believe the RSVP date is July 21st, somewhere around there. So if you haven't signed up, make sure you do so. We look forward to that. We're doing the show live, as we normally do each and every year from the patio there at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to sponsor the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, and we look forward to that. Hope everybody enjoyed a good Father's Day weekend. I certainly did, as now a father of two, and another sincere thanks for everybody's support and well wishes for our second boy that was born just a mere 12 days ago. So everybody's doing well back at home, so thanks again for everybody for that. But now we get to the topics of the day. We'll certainly get to the Sixers. NBC Sports Philadelphia's John Clark going to join us at 4:35. Matt Leon from KYW as well. But first, big story of the day coming with the Supreme Court siding with the ex-athletes in that NCAA compensation case. They decided unanimously today. The NCAA cannot enforce rules limiting education-related benefits like computers and paid internships that colleges offer to student-athletes. And that's, of course, a ruling now that can help push changes in how the student-athletes are compensated. So that was the big one coming down today. A unanimous decision, which I think is just profound in somebody finally laying the hammer down on the NCAA, which has been long needed to have been done here. And of course now a huge win for the college athletes as we now look towards name, image, and likeness and all those different laws coming up. And of course the big question is total athlete compensation. So a big one today, Steve, from the Supreme Court.
How many times have you already mentioned the Yankee triple play, which in the scheme of things was irrelevant?
I haven't even got to there yet, actually. There's been a lot going on.
Scheme, irrelevant. really it is. It's not, maybe to be honest with you. John Rahm wins the U.S. Open. Yankee triple play? No. Nets lose out. Yankee triple play? No. You go through the list, it's like such a footnote. It's unreal. In fact, I'm more excited about Matt Vierling making his debut with the Phillies. The reason is his brother Mark is on the spikes. So I talked to Mark for a little bit yesterday about that.
Okay.
Family's so excited that he's with the Phillies. I mean, are you keeping up with sports? What are you doing?
I have been plenty keeping up.
You don't even know who I'm talking about.
I even know that your stinking Red Sox are in first place. I know. Let's get that out of the way.
But I haven't even taught me. I didn't talk about that because right now it's like, okay, that's one of baseball's problems. And there's a lot of other stuff going on. Now, the NCAA, I think the key to this is when you read the dissenting opinion. Oh, right, there wasn't one. Okay, that's a big problem. The Supreme Court, look, when Justices Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, Stephen Breyer, are in complete agreement with Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Samuel Alito, your case is awful.
I mean, not only that, Brett Kavanaugh was like the biggest voice in this. That was one of my biggest takeaways from this.
He's a big sports fan.
Right.
He is a big sports fan. And, okay, so this case of Alston, now how many times have we talked about this case on the show over the years?
Oh, plenty.
Yeah. This isn't ESPN radio. Who's better, LeBron or Brady? Let's do 8 consecutive days of that. That kind of sports talk, I'm out. As soon as they start doing that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. We're finished. There's no meat and potatoes to it. That's why we talk about Alston. Now, it's been different names over the years, just so you know. And so I've always referred to it loosely over the years as the Kessler case, because he's the attorney, okay? They've had to do this in such a way where different names have had to be attached to it. It was finally going to be Alston. Now, what Alston wanted in his case, Sean Alston, the former West Virginia running back, what his case dealt with is the ability of universities as part of the scholarship to provide other materials in your education that the university is free to give you a laptop. The university is free to give you an iPad, a printer, a scanner, whatever. Now, the question is, how far can that go? How far can that go? So somebody in the lower court brought up, for example, Matt Catrillo, star running back. He's on campus, and, well, let's just say you're at West Virginia. All right. West Virginia has 2 campuses. Rutgers, for example, has multiple campuses. And when I mean multiple campuses, I mean within the area. I mean, I know Penn State has multiple campuses, but I'm talking about the Livingston campus, and I can't remember the name of the other campus, like that's on the other side of the Raritan River. The 2 campuses essentially at Morgantown are connected by a monorail. So can I provide you a car if you have to take classes in another part of campus? I mean, even here at Penn State, for example, what if your dorm is West Campus and there's something that you have to take a class where it's up at Innovation Park. Now, I've taught at Innovation Park, so it's not as if that's not unusual. Can I provide you a car? Well, the lower court seemed to be like, that's a bridge too far. In other words, it leads to the possibility of more problems. So they did not want to take it that far, that there were limits to it. But now this opens the door, for example, on name, image, and likeness. The NCAA continues... Okay, so in other words, the NCAA poured a lot of money into these court cases. And they keep getting nothing out of it. All they're doing is just, I mean, literally taking the money into the public square and burning it. I mean, nobody's going along with this. Name, image, and likeness is a way to allow athletes to make as much money as they want. And I mean, the NCAA Council is meeting tomorrow, and they're meeting Wednesday. The Florida law goes into effect on name, image, and likeness. The Florida law, Alabama law, Mississippi law, Georgia law, New Mexico law, and the Texas law go into effect in 9 days. Tennessee, Arkansas, they go into effect at the end of the year. And if I recall correctly, in the Kavanaugh ruling, is that I think there's a line in here. There are serious questions about whether the NCAA's remaining compensation rules can pass muster. The NCAA must supply a legal valid justification for its remaining compensation rules. Now, there's another case out there. House versus the NCAA. And House versus the NCAA does challenge the restrictions the NCAA has on name, image, and likeness payments. And I think Berman is the attorney for that one. And here's another, and Berman, I mean it's Steve Berman. He's the co-counsel in the Alston case. Now, Steve Berman's the co-counsel in the Alston case, just so you know, with Kessler. And he has the other case of House versus the NCAA. Now, anything that goes along with this, for example, iPad, laptop, paid internship, is not taxable. So that's the way I understand it. That's if it's within the realm there. Now, if they get a paid internship outside of the university, they do have to pay taxes on it. So if they get a paid internship outside of the program, they'd have to pay taxes. Name, image, and likeness, they would have to pay taxes. But if I, as the university or the athletic department, for educational purposes, provide you with your own laptop, your own computer, your own iPad, your own printer, scanner, things like that. That's part of your educational process. You don't have to pay for it. It's not considered a gift. Now, if a student does have a paid internship, you have to pay taxes on your internship because you're getting paid. So that's how this case figures in. It's a case that from day one, and this goes back years, we said we'd follow it. We have. When it went to the Supreme Court, we told you it was before the Supreme Court. I mean, we followed it all the way through. Now it's a question of, in the end, what is this going to mean for name, image, and likeness? Because the amount of money they can make from elements that I never dreamed possible. I mean, to me, if you were to say to me, name, image, likeness, it would be, hi, I'm Matt Cotrillo for Sunbury Motors. Right, and do that, and then you make money for them. That's the traditional way of it happening. But now, so many people can make money off of YouTube, Instagram. They get sponsors for their YouTube. They get sponsors for their Instagram, which they would be allowed to under this format. The NCAA has had time to come up with something. It is embarrassing in some ways that they have not. The Florida law was passed more than a year ago. And when it was passed, everyone knew that July 1 was the date. Now, when California passed its law, and they were the first ones to do it, it was going to be January 1, 2023. So essentially the end of 2022. And I said at the time, that gives the NCAA plenty of time to come up with something. But then the Florida law was passed last year. And I said, now for the NCAA, the clock is ticking. For anybody who sits there and says, well, it's only been a year, right? Don't be naive and don't embarrass yourself by making that statement. Okay? We just went through a year of the pandemic. How long did that feel? A year is a long period of time. And in a year, they came up with nothing. Now, evidently, they came up with something, but then they started fearing this antitrust case and blah, blah, blah. Please, you know, just put something out there. You've got six laws. Cherry pick what you like. Tweak what you don't like. Eliminate what you don't like. Add in something that you think is necessary the states forgot. You already have outlines in front of you. What else are you doing with your time? I'm talking about the people on the committee that's supposed to be working this. What else are you doing with your time? Really? You gotta be kidding me. It's the same. It's you know, I mean, at least with the like with the, you know, notice how the 12-team proposal on the bowl's going. You know, that's not an NCAA thing. 4-person group came up with this, liked it, got it to the 11-person group. They nulled it out. They liked it. Eventually, now it goes to presidents and chancellors. Gee, what a process. What a process. The NCAA keeps wasting money on court cases, kicking the can down the road, when they should have come up with something where they were leading and not playing from behind. And now the NCAA is so far behind that if you read their statement, they think they're first. Their statement was bizarre. Did you see the NCAA statement on this?
Oh, it was completely cowardly.
No.
And in typical Mark Embert fashion.
It was clueless. It was clueless. Let me. I've got the statement here. I know we have to take a break because we got to pay for your salary and your kids' education. With today's decision, while today's decision preserves the lower court ruling, which means you lost, it also reaffirms the NCAA's authority to adopt reasonable rules and repeatedly notes that the NCAA remains free to articulate what are and are not truly educational benefits, consistent with the NCAA's mission to support student athletes.
That's saying he's a total coward, Mark Embert.
Now, the person
of course
that
he knows what
that,
this means.
The person that wrote this at the NCAA, I think got an A in creative writing at college. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Joe Putnam coming up, by the way, at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to talk a little baseball with Joe. But we got that going on. We got, let's see, what else do we have today? I think we got Matt Leon today. We've also got more on the, I mean, the Sixer thing is just... I mean, you're at half mast.
That would be a good way to put it, yeah.
Simmons has a slam dunk. Oh, he won't take the shot. He's the first guy in the history of the NBA that refused to take a slam dunk.
Pretty much, yeah. Listen, the this only thing your... I had this weekend for sports, it was a terrific weekend for me, by the way. We had Mark's baptism. Father's Day was great yesterday. But sports-wise... let's just say I just had the Yankees triple play, and I didn't even see it live.
the reason the Yankees, why the Yankees are getting so many triple plays? The other team's getting a lot of people on base.
Yes.
Back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory, best in new inventory, and also awesome pre-owned inventory with great selections and the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Best in the business. And not only that, they'll save you money. Maybe it's bundles, but they'll come up with a way to do it. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, they do more than just insurance at Purdy Insurance. There's a lot of different services they provide there. So a great Father's Day yesterday for you, huh?
It was. Lisa and I got a chance to go out on the river yesterday. Took out a kayak while my parents watched the boys. It was nice.
No, you went out on a kayak yesterday.
We did. Wonderful. Around Lake Augusta yesterday.
My daughter Megan always talks about this. I was asked to be on a talk show in Oklahoma to preview the season. So we're on vacation at Cape Cod, and I'm going along, and you know, and we're kayaking, and we go down something. It's called Swan River, and Swan River leads into the Atlantic Ocean. This is the part that freaks Kathy out all the time. Now she, every time Kathy goes with me, we go toward the pond. We don't go toward the ocean. Okay, all right. But I like going out to the ocean because I like going into the ocean with a kayak. Look, this is not Hawaii 5-0, okay? All right? Are there some waves? Sure. Okay? It's Nantucket Sound? Sure. But your biggest problem is actually getting stuck on a sandbar, okay? Then suddenly having, you know, the sharks show up. So we go out there, and Megan and I are going along, right? And I'm going down Swan River, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and they ask me to be on the show. And I said, where are you right now? I said, well, actually, we're on vacation. I said, I'm actually sitting in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in a kayak with my daughter, Megan. They said, oh, we're so sorry about interrupting your vacation. I said, believe me. I said, you're not interrupting my vacation. I said, after 10 minutes, we're paddling back. I said, don't worry about it. So, yeah, I love the kayak. You know, I've got friends that... couple friends of mine really love the kayak deal too, so you know, I think that I mean, I always have a lot of fun with it. So, all right, we're gonna have Matt Leon on the show today, and then we're gonna continue with John Clark at 4:35 today. Now, I know Joe Putnam's on a conference call right now, so that's why. We're going to have Joe on at this point. But yesterday they had nearly 4,000 here at the ballpark. The Cape Cod League opened up for the first time in 685 days. Because remember, Cape Cod League being a summer league, they end up, you know, they'll end their season in early August. So they went 685 days from the final out that was recorded at Lowell Park in Kituat when they won the 2019 Cape Cod League Championship. Didn't play at all last year. So how badly did people want to be back watching baseball yesterday? So on Father's Day, almost 4,000 here at Midler Field, Lebrano Park. Largest attendance of the season so far. Yesterday in the Cape Cod League, they set an opening day attendance record. Five games were played. In 2019, those five openers had a total of 4,828 fans. You know how many fans they had yesterday for the five games? 10,808.
Wow.
Almost 2.5 times what they had for their opening games in 2019. How about that? I mean, people want to be back. Now, I'd like to point out it's free to go. That's one of the reasons why I brought that up, and the suit started changing all of his vacation plans because, it's free. He wants to go.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That's our guy, okay? But, yeah, they're back, which is really cool. Just more signs everywhere. You can just sense and feel there's a freedom out there right now. And people are enjoying their freedom. Not everybody. There's still some people that are very concerned about it. And the Canadian border, by the way, is still closed. So let's get to... can I get to something quickly here? Because I don't know what's going to happen with this. But the Bills, their lease with their stadium runs out 2023. They had looked at a downtown location to build the stadium. They feel where they are at Orchard Park is actually the best idea. And when you look at, the best idea, one of the reasons it's a really good idea where they are is because of the parking. Parking is, there's one thing about Beaver Stadium. Unless you have gone on the road, and I think you may have noticed I may have gone on the road a couple times, the parking at Beaver Stadium is phenomenal. Oh, sure, there are going to be elements of it that aren't perfect. Nothing is perfect, despite what the guy in the corner office says about himself. But the parking at Beaver Stadium is phenomenal the way they have it all around. Yeah, I mean, and I'm comparing it to other places. Notre Dame? No. Ohio State? No. Iowa? No. Even Nebraska? No. You'd think Nebraska would be wide open, spin new. It's all in between garages and buildings. And Wisconsin's not very good. There really are very few places like Beaver Stadium. So now back to Buffalo. What does Buffalo now do? Over the years, they have played a select game here or there in Toronto. So Toronto's an option. But he won't open the border right now. Now, a year from now, yeah, the border probably will be open. Just as a side note, do you know what the average age... I don't want anybody to pass away, okay? But statistically, you know what the average age of a person passing away in Canada is? From COVID?
60?
85.
Wow.
You know what the average age in this country is?
Closer to my first guess?
78. Huh? Now, again, I don't want anybody. I wish we didn't even have to even think about a stat like that. But I'm a lot of people don't realize stuff, but that's, but the border's still closed. So you want to be going back and forth to Toronto and so forth. Now, so then what's their other option? Well, their other option they've discussed possibly is Beaver Stadium. Okay. Now, Beaver Stadium would need elements to be NFL level for NFL players. But it would not be the first time that an NFL team has had to go to a college campus to play. Most recently, the Minnesota Vikings playing at the University of Minnesota. But the University of Minnesota Stadium, Matt, is relatively new. And I'll be honest with you, Matt, it has all the amenities. I don't think the Vikings had to do anything there. So let's take an example of a Big Ten school that had an NFL team for a year while their stadium was being built. You have to go back to 2002 when the Chicago Bears played at the University of Illinois. So what the Bears did is the Bears came in and they upgraded the locker room facility for both home and away, and they did put a new video board up. Now, they would not have to put a video boards up here. The video boards here are fine. I think the video boards here now are HD. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the video boards here. The locker rooms, if the Bills wanted to come in here and they wanted to upgrade both the visiting and the home locker rooms to make them NFL standard, if I'm Penn State, I'd take that in a heartbeat. That'd be one less thing on the checklist. Now, as for the fans and the stands and things like that, okay. Now, remember, to do this, though, you would be renting the stadium out to the Bills. This would not be one of those, you know, where you look at Terry and Kim and say, hey, guys, hey, great, you're Penny, you're graduates, hey, go ahead, just take whatever you need. No. There would be at least some money that would exchange going Penn State's way, but I also think the Bills would be responsible because it might be a two-year stay to upgrade locker rooms, which would be one less thing on the checklist. The Bears did that at the University of Illinois. I'm trying to think, when the Rams played in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, USC was doing renovation. But the city of Los Angeles actually owns the Coliseum. USC is the prime tenant. So I don't know if the Rams put any money into the Coliseum. They might have. I don't know. That I can't answer. But I know the Bears did with Illinois. So I'm saying it is something to at least consider. You know, whether you've got fans coming down from Buffalo left and right, I don't know. Maybe. Especially the fact that Bills are really good right now. You might have fans willing to make the trek down here. That could be a boon for hotels, which really need help. It could be a boon for restaurants, which right now really need help here. So it's at least something to consider. Now, whether the Bills are seriously going to consider it, I don't know. But it's a facility that's big enough to accommodate their fan base. Toronto's also big enough to accommodate their fan base. I mean, if they wanted to stay local, they could play at the University of Buffalo's Alumni Stadium. But that place only seats 30,000, and I've seen that stadium. It only seats 30,000. It would not be that does not, that would not be a solution about them. It just isn't. But it's something that was, at least it was brought up. Since it's brought up, yeah, we can talk about it. What the heck? It's not as exciting as Matt kayaking in the river, but I mean, you know.
That is very intriguing, though.
It's not the first time it's ever been brought up. But now what kind of wear and tear would it put on the turf? Because you would be talking about a minimum of 9 games. Maybe 10, because you'd have to play a preseason game in there. And in alternating years, you have 9 home games versus 8 in alternating years. So now, you ask yourself about wear and tear. Wear and tear is, that's not a small issue. It's a great turf, as we all know. That's the best grass field I've ever seen in my life, bar none. I have never seen a grass field like Beaver Stadium. Never. But it doesn't mean that. That's one of the biggest problems you have with Heinz Field. One of the biggest problems with Heinz Field is that as the season goes, Pitt's using it, the Steelers are using it, okay, and then you get to Thanksgiving weekend. Now, this is where Beaver Stadium's okay. But when you get to the end of the season, the WPIAL playoffs are in there. And it just rips the turf up. And that was one of the biggest issues of playing the Pinstripe Bowl. When Penn State played in the Pinstripe Bowl in 2014, the game was about a month, 3 weeks after the city championships took place there. And at that time of the year, you can't grow grass. Can't do it. Here, of course, obviously by Thanksgiving weekend, the regular season ends at Penn State, but who's to say that you don't have an expanded college football playoff, and now suddenly you're hosting a playoff game, which gives you an eighth game at Beaver Stadium to go with the Bills also playing there. It's a lot of wear and tear on the field. Now, how much the Bills would contribute to keeping the wear and tear to a minimum with re-sodding and things like that, that's also something that would have to be worked out if they were to show up here. I know the suit in Ward 4 was trying to get the Bills to move there, and my quick conversation with the Pegulas went like this. I said, what do you think of the suit's idea? And they said, what is the deal with this suit, dude? And ended that conversation.
No good! No good! No good!
I think Terry said to me, where the hell's Ward 4? Back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
If you own an RV, you know your home on wheels needs the same protection as your actual home. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. Whether you hit the road for a weekend or a few months, Purdy Insurance can cover all of your recreational vehicles. From RVs, ATVs and side-by-sides to motorcycles and golf carts, offering you great coverage at the best price. Call Purdy Insurance at 570-286-5855 or request a quote online at purdyinsurance.com and see what we can do for you.
It's certainly the biggest legal loss for the NCAA since 1984 in the Board of Regents case, where they lost regulation over televised football, and that opened up modern athletics, at least the financial part of it as we know today.
It's in the start of CBS Sports. See, this now opens the door. Now, Alston was saying that, look, I want to have other tools at my disposal as part of my scholarship. In other words, a laptop, an iPad, a printer, scanner, whatever it may be, that's part of my education here at West Virginia. That's where Sean Alston, that's his name, was on the suit. What does this now do for name, image, likeness? That's next on this list. Now, tomorrow, the NCAA board, tomorrow and Wednesday, they're discussing name, image, and likeness. By the way, I love this headline. The headline, Mark Emmert tells schools, act on name, image, and likeness, or he will. What? What is wrong with you? Okay? We've been waiting for you to act on anything for a long time. The last time he ruled, he acted on anything, it was wrong. And I don't think I have to go any further into that with any of you, do I? No. So, and also coming up, the 12-team playoff idea is on the table tomorrow. That is also on the table tomorrow, is the 12-team playoff idea. It doesn't mean it's being passed tomorrow. That's not, okay? These are all being done in phases, and I'm okay with phases. I'm okay with that. I think they've done their, when it comes to this, They've done their due diligence. Now, Larry Scott, the outgoing commissioner of the Pac-12, who has nine more days on the job, says that he doesn't like the fact that all Power 5 conference champions don't have a guaranteed playoff berth. Larry, tell your teams to go out and win. Stop losing. They avoid, as far as I'm concerned, they avoid legal action by phrasing it this way. The six highest ranked conference champions. Well, last year, the Pac-12 would have been out because the Sun Belt champion, Coastal Carolina, along with Cincinnati, the American champion, would have been in. So it does make it feel like it's all-inclusive.